Hey, hey, my fellow dream chasers, it's Princess Fizz here. Welcome to another episode of I Have a Dream Show, bringing you multimillionaires from around the world to hear their unique journeys to success, great business wisdom, free mentoring and inspiration. Now, if you're looking to boost your online presence as a small business owner and stand out from the noise, you have to check out my free 10-day course on how to create an amazing web TV show or podcast for any industry. Go to becomeamediapreneur.com and get instant access to the course, and I'll get you ready for launch within 10 days. If you've seen my web TV shows and love my makeup, check out Moonstruck 3D Fiber Lashes, which is the best-selling product by Unique, at ihaveadreamshow.com/beauty. And if you prefer to watch the video shows, then you can go to ihaveadreamshow.com/shows, where there's a library of all the I Have a Dream shows to date. So now take out your notepads and enjoy the show. So I want to welcome the absolutely wonderful, gorgeous Esther Kiss coming in live from California. Thank you so much, Esther, for taking this class today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so looking forward to talking with you here more all about this networking and connecting with people, because that's one of my favorite things to do. And it's so helpful. It's always a win-win-win for everybody.
Absolutely. And you know, Esther, I can see that you love it. You know, it's your passion. You wake up to it. I mean, I think I've contacted you like 4 o'clock in the morning where you are, and you're still awake doing it. You know, I'm thinking, well, where did this woman sleep? So it must be something that you're really passionate with. But before we get into a little bit more about what you do, guys, I just want to make sure that you know, if you're new here, it's an expert I've actually I'll bring on in specific areas, okay? And they come on and they share the level of expertise in the specific area that we've chosen today, which is networking and building your assets through your network and actually socializing. You know, how to actually get that human element back in. You know, when you're online, you forget how to be a human. So we've got to get that back in and how to actually, you know, become human again. And I do this every Monday. The main show is usually the I Have a Dream show, which is where I interview entrepreneurs around the world. But this segment I've actually particularly launched just for specific areas that you can actually pick up strategies. And you can actually ask questions, okay? So I've got Element on the website where you can actually post your questions below. The Dream Chasers group is open as well, so make sure that you can ask the questions in the thread and we'll take them as either. But as we are, oh my God, I've got so much to talk to you about. I know this segment is about an hour or so, but you've got an amazing bonus for us at the end. So guys, stay tuned till the end and you'll get that. But Esther, tell me a little bit more about you. I mean, how did you get started? Why did you pick this area to work in your business?
Well, I fell into it kind of by accident. And so what happened was I got started in marketing about 15 years ago. I was very young and started with a hotel and restaurant and worked my way up in the company it was a very entrepreneurial company. A small family owned it, but all kinds of assets, anything from real estate to hotels to shipping and trading. So I got my start in really seeing from the inside how a very tightly controlled but large organization is run. And it's kind of it sounds counterintuitive, like how do you do both? So what it entailed for me was a lot of traveling around Europe and going almost every week, sitting on an airplane, but it was fun. I really, really enjoyed it. And 7 years ago, I moved over to Los Angeles, to California, because I always wanted to be an actor. Like when I was very, very young, I always thought that, well, that would be fun. But I had all these little limiting beliefs that my English is not good enough and I can do this and all that. And so there came a point in my life that I was like, okay, I know enough and I need to try, because if not now, then when? So I moved over to LA and I went to an acting conservatory for a couple of years. I did a few movies that nobody's ever heard of, produced some. and you know how they always say that the out of work actors are always waiters? they serve at restaurants. So I didn't want to do that. And so in order to be able to support myself, what I did, I drew on my knowledge of growing businesses and understanding investments and things like that. So I started actually day trading, because Los Angeles is 3 hours behind LA. So I would get up really early in the morning, 5-6 o'clock, and start reading the news and then do some trading until about 10. And then be able to have the money so that I was available during the day for auditions and for filming. And what happened was that The recession came, so I took a big loss, and I was like, okay, now what am I gonna do? I went back to my roots of marketing and helping people with their businesses, growing their businesses, working with clients. And then with a friend of mine, Mette Muller, a couple of years ago in 2013, we launched this show, which is a podcast, Born to Influence. And our goal was to interview highly, highly successful entrepreneurs, sort of like what you are doing in your I Have a Dream show, really connecting with people who know their stuff, who are New York Times bestselling authors, or they've built multimillion dollar businesses, and really get a sense of how do they do what they do? What is it that they have to do in order to become more influential, make a difference in the world, and also build a business that leaves a legacy? And what do they do to really leverage all these different platforms that we have online, marketing and PR-wise, to grow their businesses? And so what happened was that always when I would invite someone, I would say that, hey, I know that you have this book coming out, or this product or this service that you're launching. The interview is done. We stop the recording. And I'm like, by the way, because you have this thing that you're promoting, would you like to be on other shows too? And they would always say yes. Okay, yeah, great. I'll introduce you to my friend. And so I would always book people on other shows without using the word booking, just by making those connections and introducing people. And so at some point, it dawned on me that this is actually a business. So that's how it shifted from pure marketing and really helping people with the strategic stuff to going more towards PR and connecting people and placing them on the right media outlets so that they can get more exposure, leads, and sales.
That's fantastic, Esther, that you actually fallen into this particular kind of skill set. Because if I can ask you, if we talk from an entrepreneur's point of view, okay, when you're doing that type of service, what does it mean to them?
So what it means to them is that they are able to leverage other people's audiences. They don't come from a position of I'm advertising myself, which they have to do anyway. It's really a combination of both PR and marketing. But when you put your content out directly, let's say you do some kind of a video series, right? And you're talking straight to camera. There is a different, you're giving good content, good education, and people will come into your system and they will opt into your lead magnet and all those things. But it's a different perception than when you're being interviewed on other people's platforms. Because not only you're expanding your reach because you're leveraging those relationships that they have with their audience, but there's also that credibility and that trust factor that, you know, if somebody's following you on social media or they're on their email list and they see all the time that this person is being interviewed here, now they're writing a blog article, now they're in that magazine, it makes a really big impression. And so they start following you for a while. And when it's consistent and you talk about what you do on other people's platforms, they want to look you up everywhere. And it's so much more easy for them to then make a buying decision, especially if they're already on the fence.
That's fantastic. I love that. And Esther, you know, your role, I mean, it's a very important role that you play, because I know we talk about go-giving and all this, it's very powerful, but I don't think people understand how powerful it actually is. You know, I mean, most people was like, okay, what is it in for me? You know, obviously everyone thinks like that, time is money and all that, right? But the way that you do it is like, some people don't even ask you to do it. You just take initiative and you actually go ahead and give that time and that effort for that person. Can we talk in your perspective? Why do you actually do this? I mean, where do you have the time to do this? What is your vision when you do this?
Well, I think it comes from the mentality of really giving first, because it comes back, but it's also in my nature. Just because I hear, let's say you and I have a conversation and you mention that you're working on a particular project and this is something that you're missing, and I may not have a solution for you, but it will be in the back of my mind. And if I, as I go about my day, I hear somebody else has that missing piece that you have, it's a natural reaction on my part to want to bring it together, because I know that you'll be able to collaborate and do business together. And it may or may not be that you're actually hiring that person immediately, but at least it gives you the opportunity to see your choices and for them to be in front of a potential client as well. And so it's really a win-win-win. It's just, I guess it's putting the little questions and inquiries in the back of your mind and not forgetting about them completely. And I think we all have that, but if you're a little bit intentional about it, then it will be very easy. And it comes almost like second nature that you have it. And, oh, I heard that person talk about that, you should meet. It's just like when you hear that somebody is about to move and they're looking for a new place, a new house, and then you meet this real estate agent, oh my God, you have to bring them together.
It's that natural kind of interaction, isn't it? Bringing that online. So, you know, like you've got a neighbor that says, you know, I need something in my cooking or something, you know, I need to learn how to do this. And then you know someone that knows how to do that. And then you can connect them together and you become that valuable person in between because you've made that connection. And that's an asset that you created, right?
Yes, absolutely. And the other thing I want to emphasize here, of course, we want to help everybody, but also there is so much time that we have in the day. So you want to be strategic about it. And it's nice to, I mean, if it doesn't take, you know, 2 hours out of your day to go out of your way and help someone, unless they're a client, obviously, then you would do it. But if not, then just be mindful about, okay, who are the people that I really want to engage with? And be sure that you put yourself in those kind of circles. Like, for example, we are both in Ryan Levesque's mastermind, the Next Level Mastermind. That is a perfect place for your business to grow, for my business to grow, and they are contributing as much as possible. Yeah. It makes sense and it helps everybody. If it was, you know, in some random Chamber of Commerce kind of community, which for some people, that is the place where they do business and it makes sense for them. For me, that's not where my clients are. It's not where my prospects are. It's not where the JV partners are that I can bring to my clients. So I don't go to those types of events. So it's really being mindful about where you hang out and who are the people that you surround yourself with, and then go full forth with everything that you can do to help them.
That's fantastic. Excellent. Now, before we get into kind of a strategies of how you actually manage all these people and keep yourself sane, right? I just wanted to ask you about someone that's new, Esther, you know, that they actually approach an influential person. I mean, have you got a few strategies where they can actually come into the attention of someone influential?
Yes. So what you want to do is just come from the position of, what can I give to this person? How can I contribute? And especially if we are talking about someone influential, in this day and age, they're probably talking about their goals and their next things that are coming up on social media, or certainly if you follow their blog or opt into their email list, you know what they're up to. To give you an example, Gary Vaynerchuk, he is one of the most influential people in the social media space. He wrote several New York Times best-selling books, and you know, he has big companies and things. And when I wanted to reach out to him to have him on our show on Born to Influence, we didn't have a show at the time. We reached out to him way before the show ever launched. And you know, I didn't have any online presence, like hardly any social media following, brand new to Twitter with like 2 followers. So it was like, there's nothing that I could show that would appeal to Gary from the traditional sense. If you're looking at, okay, he is looking to grow his audience and things like that. But I knew that he had the book coming out. So I emailed him and I said that, hey, I know that you have this book coming out. I would love to help you promote it. How about we do an interview? And because we didn't have a show yet, I said that, well, these are a few people. And I gave him the bullet points of people who already said yes to being interviewed, or who we already recorded the interviews with. We just haven't published them yet. So he could see some sort of social proof. And then as a next step, what we also did is I added up the amount of followers that they mentioned, that those people who already agreed to be interviewed mentioned that, hey, I will promote it to my list, or I will share it on my social media. And then added it up and said that initially we are looking to get the word out to, I think it was like 250,000 people. And that's not to say that you will get 250,000 people buying your book tomorrow to Gary, but obviously, but at least I could legitimately say that because these 5 or 10 people said that they're promoting, and I can add up to their following that how many people they are going to be reaching, plus our own ad budget, knowing how many people will see it, that made it immediately more like a business case for him, you know, that he's actually going to get something out of it, not just doing a random interview. And then the other thing that we did with him is, because he loves to barter. So again, if you just read up on him a little bit and understand his personality, then you know that you can make a deal. So we bought a certain number of books that we can use for giveaways to clients and to our audience. So there's a lot of things that you can do, even if you don't have a huge audience, but just use what you have already, put it together in a creative way that also helps you show how you can further their process and how can you help them reach their goal. And then he just said yes. And then from then on, everything else was easy, because then I reached out to John Benson, who is, you know, he is a creator of 3X VSL, and he sold over $1 billion worth of products and services with his methodology. And literally at 11:15 or something, like late at night, 15 minutes later, he responded to me like, you had me at Gary V. I'm like, okay.
Absolutely. It's just the momentum starts then, doesn't it? Once you get a big name in, the rest kind of follow, because they want to keep up with the big names.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. I love that. And Esther, another thing I wanted to talk about, I talk about this a lot in my group. I say to them, look, you know, and you know, people say, oh, I haven't got money for this or I haven't got money for that. Now I say to them, look, and build assets up with these, you know, experts or high profile entrepreneurs by giving service for free. But in return, you're in their space, you know, you're working with them very closely. So it's like you're getting free mentoring. I don't think people understand the value of that. You know, free mentoring, working around a very high profile entrepreneur can help you in so many ways. I know that you've worked with entrepreneurs very closely. How powerful has that been with your growth?
Yeah, so I have not done anything that is free work per se in the work that I do today, but I have done it when I was acting. I did a lot of free projects because you want to start building your reel, and it's the same kind of mentality, really. And as far as working now with very influential people, like, for example, Ryan Levesque that we talked about a minute ago, he's one of my clients. So look at what you can do. You obviously have an agreement, how you work together, but then what else can you bring there? What kind of connections can you offer? Anything that you can go above and beyond. And in a way, in a sense, you can look at it as free work because that's not technically part of your agreement, but you're over delivering and you're surprising them and giving more and more value. And then they want to have you on for other stuff as well. So for example, with Ryan, initially it started purely with doing online PR and helping him with being on shows for his book launch. But then also I connected him with a few people that he interviewed in the Next Level Mastermind as a guest expert. Now I'm helping him get affiliates for his other products. So there's a lot of things that, because he sees me as somebody who can connect people. Yeah. And not somebody who is only doing podcasts. So there's a lot of opportunities that come if you just start offering it just out of goodwill initially.
That's wonderful. And the way they work, you learn a lot from that as well, don't you? You learn how they think, they operate, they run their business. I mean, that's priceless knowledge, to be honest, because it's taken them years
yes.
to get to that stage, right?
So yeah, I actually made some changes in my own business because of that, because particularly with Ryan, he is so organized. There is spreadsheets for everything and everything is numbered. And now that I started working with other people also, you know, with in part of my team, it's sometimes when you share Google documents, it's like, okay, do this, do that. And you start sharing it via email, it gets messy. So I literally took what Ryan does in a very simplified version because I don't have 20 people on my staff, but you know, like understanding the basic idea, the structure, and then taking what you can from that. It's a very practical thing, but it makes my life so much easier and for everybody else as well. There is no more back and forth emails. Everybody's always updated. So it's super, super cool.
On that note, Esther, as we're talking about a little bit strategic, can you kind of share with us a few tools? Because I know, you know, diaries of people and, you know, keeping up with follow-ups and things like that can get very overwhelming for someone that's starting up. So how do you think you can organize yourself a little bit? Is there any specific tools that you use to help you alert you?
Yes. So one thing that I use is Trello. It's Trello, Trello.com. And it's a free tool. It's kind of like little post-it notes, virtual post-it notes in your desktop that you can literally just put a note in it and then switch it to the next pile, to the next column, wherever you want to put it. You can create your own workflow and then see the progress. So the way I use it, there's two things. One is where we are interviewing people for the show for Born to Influence. And so to be able to follow up and to keep tabs on everybody, let's just say if I email 10 experts today and I want to have them on the show, not everybody will get back to me on the same day. So I have to be able to follow up with them and know where the process is. We use the same thing for the actual post-production, also understanding where it's that particular interview in terms of editing, whether the music was done. So it's very easy to just shift it from one step to the next so you understand the stages where you're at. And then also you can put a, you know, connect it with Google Documents, you can put deadlines on it, you can put other people so that your whole team can access it. It's a really, really cool tool. The other thing that I use is Streak. And it integrates with Gmail or with Google Apps. It's a CRM, it's a contact management system. And that's also something that I've been using for reaching out to experts because it actually rolls in your email with where they are in your pipeline. So that way you can just literally move them from one step to the next. And it's free. They have a free account that you can use. Or there's, of course, more features if you want to get the paid ones. But to start with, the free one is perfect. And it's called Streak, Streak.com.
That's fantastic, guys. There you go. A wonderful couple of tools there for you. Can I take a question, Esther, as we are bringing a couple of questions in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Right, Stella. Thank you so much, Stella, for coming to class today. Stella is my she's a regular attendee. Thank you from Spain. So Stella, love you loads. So Stella, she's a network marketer, okay? And I know this is not really the topic, but I think the ideas are kind of same. So they struggle with getting new people into their business. I think network marketing is about relationship building. So is there some advice that you can give to Stella about how to actually build a network marketing business using the strategies that you do?
Yeah, it's a tricky question because I really am not in network marketing, but I think we are all human, and maybe a little bit the trickery or the disadvantage is that most people, when they hear the word network marketing, if they've been burned by it before, then they're very aware. And so you have to approach it in a way that is a little bit softer and talk to them about, because I know when I get pitched with opportunities like that, and especially if it's coming from, you know, three or four different people and it's for the same company, at some point I'm just going to say, you know what, I've been already asked and I can't. So I understand that there's a lot of rejection and that you're facing. And so what can you look at what you can do to build yourself up as an expert, particularly maybe around the topic, like let's just say if you're representing a skincare product or some kind of a vitamin or something, and talk about that and attract people in that way. And there will be some who will want to have the opportunity to build a business with it. But if you're going after people from the business aspect, that, hey, I have this great opportunity, I think it's a little bit, there is too much of negative connotation around it, even though they may not be right and they have misconceptions, but they will be very closed off in many cases, rather than just being open-minded and wanting to talk to you about the business. So I will go with what the product is and go with that level of expertise. And then that way you're also building your personal brand. So let's just say if you want to add another product line later or build something else into it so that you have your own email list and you really can build your business in a way that is your own, then you will have the opportunity because you establish yourself as an expert, particularly in that niche.
I love that advice, Esther. You know, that's perfect. You never ever lead with your network marketing company. Always lead with a platform of your own, you know, so you can actually branch out. You know, never know, you know, what if that network marketing goes down? You know, you're left in the air, right? So you need to be able to, like, be an entrepreneur and use these programs as your line. I love that, Esther. Okay, another question. This is a really good one, actually. John, thank you so much for coming to class today. You'll get your bonus for staying this long. But John is asking, how do you handle no? Which is a very good question, because I actually want to feed off this one, John. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. But Esther, someone that says no, I personally don't take that as a forefront no. I go back and ask them a month later. I'm always in their face until they say yeah. And I say to them, like, you know, I'll get off your case when you say yes. But is this something that you think is a good idea as well? How do you personally answer no?
I guess we need a little bit more context around it, whether it's a no for a particular offer. You offered somebody to work with them and they don't want to do it. I mean, what you're going to do? But if it's something like connecting with them and maybe collaborating in some way, and this particular opportunity or promotion didn't work for them, but maybe you can bring something else. So you always want to save the relationship and you want to always leave on good terms. I mean, I know it's not always possible and sometimes we take things personally, but you want to be mindful of not becoming a pest, but just ask them that, you know, the way I write to somebody, let's just say we were talking about Ryan Levesque's program right now that I'm helping him get affiliates for. So when I email somebody and I say that here is this opportunity and this is what it is, I always give them a very easy out at the bottom. If this is not something that you're interested in, that's totally fine too. Either way, just let me know. And then that way they are not uncomfortable. They are very easy to come back to me and say that, you know what, maybe not now, maybe whatever. They some people have a hard time saying no. And I think that is also something that you want to tune your ear to, that did they really say no or it's just not the right time? And so if somebody says to me that, hey, you know, maybe later, I'll ask them that, okay, I just to make sure that I'm not going to bug you, or you know, is it something that you are actually interested in? Do you have a particular time frame in mind? Or if not, again, just let me know. So otherwise, I'll even jokingly say if the relationship is such that, you know, so I don't bug you, but otherwise I know I'll put it on my calendar to follow up with you, say, in October or whenever, you know, they said that it would be a better time. And so that way they are free to come back to me and they say that, you know what, this is not something that I want to do. I've been, you know, it's not something that I'm looking to do at all. Or they will say that, yes, maybe February. And so then I know, and I literally mark my my calendar, and if February comes, I'm going to be definitely contacting them again and say that, hey, remember, we talked about this. I'm following up with you. This is the time that you mentioned would be a better time to bring this back on the table. And with the other kind of no's, I think it's just really being friendly about it and not a big deal. And if you can, give them something else after that is not an ask. So literally, like, you know that they're interested in a particular topic, or they have, I don't know, they have a particular breed of dog, and you so see an interesting article about it, just send it to them so that you foster that relationship and you always have that friendliness going on, because then when they want something from you, it's easy for them to ask you and vice versa.
I love that, Esther. You're brilliant. I love how amazing you are when it comes to this, because I think follow-up here, I'm going to highlight that, because it really is in the follow-up, isn't it? Magic is always in the follow-up. Always remember to, if they give you a date to come back to them, make sure you do it. So that's important. Another thing, you know, if in case anyone's on here, guys, let me know if you have experienced this, but, you know, our network is kind of small, you know, I mean, we do tend to come across each other and get to know each other, and people tend to start talking about each other. But say, for instance, if you did mess up a relationship by mistake, or maybe they got the wrong end of the stick, is there any way of salvaging that, or should you just leave it as it is and just move on?
Well, I think it really comes as a case by case, what exactly happened, and that would be the person involved. And even if you're, let's just say you got into a huge fight, or somebody said something and that was a third party, and like the whole gossip thing going around, like, first of all, you don't want to get into that kind of situation, but let's say it's too late, you're in. So, so you want to sort out the facts if you can, and without going too deep and like he said, she said, because that's not going to lead to anything good. But if you can just somehow say that, hey, I just want to clear the air. I think there might have been a misunderstanding here. If I offended you, I'm really sorry. That wasn't my intention. And even if you don't think that it was really your fault, if at least you can lead with that, with apologizing, even though you don't understand what they took offense to, then that way it's so much easier for them to say also that, well, you know, no problem, or I'm sorry if I hurt you too, or whatever happened there. But just make sure that you clear the air so that at least it's neutral. I would try not to burn bridges, because it is a very small circle, particularly in internet marketing, but in business in general, you'll run into the same people over and over again, and it could be 20 years from now. And you know what, actually, I'm not going to name the names, but I'm going to give you an example of something that happened. I invited someone to be interviewed on our show, and he's a New York Times bestselling author, very famous person, and he ended up not showing up. Like, literally, he just didn't show up for the interview. So I thought maybe he's running late. I sent him a message 10 minutes in, 15 minutes in, contacted the assistant. Nothing happened, and they would never, ever get back to me. And even though before that they sent me an advanced copy of the book and everything, it was just a total flake out. So a few times I tried to follow up in a polite way, nothing. Now, it's not that I have a vendetta against that person or you know, I'm interviewed him or anything like that. But it just so happens that, you know, and at the time, of course, our show was very small. So maybe they were like, whatever, like, I don't know exactly what happened, but basically we got no communication back. And so later on, this person's name came up for one of my clients as a potential JV partner. And they said, do you know this person? Can you reach out to them? And I had to share that. What my experience was, I said, I can try, but just to let you know, this is what happened when I first connected with them. And they said, oh, okay, then we don't want. And it's not that, you know, that I was talking bad about them or anything like that, but just you have to be mindful, even if you're talking about small people and you know, people who don't have a huge outlet, you still want to be as polite and as constructive as possible every single time, because you never know when you're missing out on really big opportunities just because not having handled the situation the right way, maybe a year earlier.
Absolutely. I love that you mentioned that. Yeah, absolutely, Esther. And, you know, there's always a cause and effect, isn't it, of your actions in this industry. So you have to be very careful not to mess it up. And another thing, Esther, you know, communication through text, you know, it's a very tricky communication because people don't know the tone of your, you know, the way you're typing it, what you meant. You know, the most friendliest people I know in person, but when they type, they feel, it's like they're so aggressive, and they want to, like, you know, they're not very friendly. So any advice on actually text typing, you know, how to actually sound good, you know, and actually not sound so aggressive and so
people yeah.
Text.
Yeah, I would go with, first of all, you want to find your own voice. So I can give you templates here, but still you want to make sure that it's something that's true to you and use the terminology that is polite and fun and light, but at the same time, that is something that is really how you would speak in real life. So if you want to make it very buttoned up and professional, and that's not who you are, it's going to come across as fake. Even though maybe they never heard you, they will eventually meet you. And so if you're getting your foot in the door through a very fake strategy, it's going to bite you. So it's no point in that. So another thing is that when you write to somebody, and even when you meet somebody for the first time, let's say at a networking event or at a dinner party, try to adopt this attitude of as if you knew that person already. So I know it sounds a little bit woo-woo and like maybe like airy-fairy, but they really feel the energy from you. So if you can just come with the intention of really loving that person and wanting to contribute to them as if you knew them already, and it doesn't mean that you'll be overt about it and give them a big old hug if you never met them or anything like that, but just really have that openness and the way you stand and carry yourself, it will really show. And the same comes true from your writing. So when you're writing an email, maybe it's a cold email pitch, you want something from this person, you're still like, what if I knew them already? You look them up a little, maybe you, again, the name of their dog or whatever it is, you know, it's like there is something that you can put in as a personal reference. Start with a compliment and be very specific about it. Not like, oh, I love your show, or I love your blog, or what you do. That's too vague and everybody says that. So why don't you go in and really look at something that you specifically liked about what they did recently. They said maybe something in social media that made an impact in your life, and say that, hey, I saw this. Thank you so much for sharing that. It really resonated with me because, and then you give them a reason and why. So that way, instantly, you're building a connection because they know that you're actually reading their stuff, you're actually into what they're doing, and you can give a reason of how it connected with you as a human being. And then the next thing that you would do is like, I would like to help you with such and such. So you're contributing, leading with value, and then make your request, and then sign off. Give them an easy out and then sign off.
No, I love that. And also, guys, it's so easy to find things out about people because it's all online. You know, just hop onto their website and just see what their latest blog post is about and what their latest promotion is, or read a bit about their story and just kind of go in with that, because it's very warming, isn't it? When someone emails you and says, you know, I love that, you know, that you did this. And you're like, wow, okay, this person actually took the time, because time is like, you know, is fought for, isn't it, online? So someone taking the to your website and do that is actually appreciated. So I love that. Now, last thing I want to mention, Esther, before we close the class, we've got so much more to talk about, but I know you know, we don't want to kind of, you know, drag it on too much, but Esther, what about, you know, when someone you meet in live events? I remember someone asking me this in my Dream Chasers group, when they say that they always talk about themselves, okay? And you know, when you're talking to someone like, yeah, I do this, I do that, and you don't really get a word in, how do you feel about that? I mean, being the listener of these people, not that, you know, you haven't got a word in, you know, they just walk away and go to the next person, but I feel it's quite powerful doing that. But what is your thoughts on that?
So if I'm talking with somebody for the very first time and never met them before, I actually tried to get them to talk about themselves, because everybody gets that advice that don't talk about yourself, ask the questions. But if you can do it in a way that you really listen to that person, put yourself in their shoes and then ask the right follow-up questions. So if you see that their eyes start to sparkle when they talk about a particular subject, or they really light up, then ask, what inspired you to get into that? How did you get into that? What is your favorite thing about it? Open-ended questions to get them to really talk, because the more they can share from what is going on personally and also professionally, the more they feel like they know you, even though maybe you haven't said much. So your connection will be that much deeper. And then when you take it out of the context of that networking event, you will have a much deeper relationship than if you just both talked a little bit and then, hey, you know, I'm from here, and sharing very surface level details and exchange business cards. That doesn't really help you much. So if you maybe you go to a big conference and you have the opportunity to talk to 100 people, right? And it's very, very surface level. You will not get as much results in terms of relationships and business as if you really focused and figured out who are the top 20% of those people in terms of influencers, in terms of people that are actually people who it makes sense for me to connect with, and then talk to a few of those. And it may be just three or four in the, you know, in during the day or during the next couple of days, but you will have a much deeper level of connection. And those people then can, once you have that relationship with them and you start building on it, they can introduce it to a whole slew of other influencers as well. So instead of running around and spreading yourself too thin, just really focus on a few that are strategically who are influential, and carry yourself in a way that you're not like a groupie, you know, like a fan, but really as an equal and helping them and coming with a platform and giving value. And then that way they are much more likely to want to talk with you.
Excellent. I love that you mentioned that as well. And they are like doorways, aren't they? You know, the doorways to other people in their network. You're literally opening up a whole, you know, avenue of people that can actually grow you. But wow, Esther, I mean, it's been amazing. Thank you so much for giving this class on social skills and building your network and building up your assets that way. But finally, before we go, I mean, how important is your network right now to you? And how do you value that in terms in your life where you are today, in your growth? You know, how important has it been for you to build your network?
So really, I could say almost 100% of everything that I have in terms of opportunities and things that have come to pass already is because of the people that I've known. And it goes for any kind of client work. All my clients came through referrals, for example. So that is a direct correlation of relationships and money. Being able to provide people that I'm in connection with other opportunities is because I reach out to people. So it's very, very important. But it's also, I want to say that, yes, you want to go to live events as much as possible. But if you can't, or if your travel schedule or your life situation is such that you really can't make it to all these events, don't underestimate how much you can do online. A lot of what I do is through Facebook, and it's through reaching out to people through email and connecting them through shows and media placements and using my own platform. It really, really helps when you're able to show something that you have online and connect people through that way. So it's not always face-to-face. It's, of course, nothing can replace it, but even if you just have a private Skype conversation with somebody, it's a lot more than you know, having just an email back and forth. So you always want to look how you can elevate the mode of the conversation. So maybe you started through a Facebook group, then a private Facebook message, then you get on Skype, and then at some point you're going to meet in person.
That's absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much for coming to class. As you stayed on for this long, you are amazing. So Esther, what is special for my Dream Chasers group?
So I have a really, really cool thing, because I noticed that a lot of people, when they start thinking about PR and being on shows like yours, for example, as a guest, they are thinking that, oh my gosh, I'm going to have all this publicity and that will automatically equal to more leads and sales and the exposure and everything. And yes, it can, but you have to do it strategically. You have to combine it with your marketing. It goes hand in hand. So I created a quiz, and it's a really, really fun assessment. It's 12 questions. Yes or no, very easy. But what it does, it will help you decipher whether or not PR at this stage where you're in your business right now, whether it makes sense for you and what you can do exactly to maximize your results. So that when you start going on shows and start contributing to other people's blogs and things like that, that you can really reap the results from it. So if you go to borntoinfluence.com/assessment, you just fill out that really fun quiz, and you'll get a whole, depending on where you are in your business, based on the answers that you give, you'll have a whole lot of advice on how to proceed further so that you can actually make PR work for you.
That's absolutely fabulous. Thank you so much, Esther, for that. Guys, borntoinfluence.com/quiz. And
assessment. It's assessment, not quiz.
Oh, assessment, sorry, guys. Sorry, I've actually got the link below. So just go to the link below. borntoinfluence.com/assessment, guys. Yeah. And actually check out the podcast that Esther does. She's got some amazing guests on there that you can actually pick up a lot from. But Esther, thank you so much. I must have you on the main show so we can actually go through a few stories of struggles and your journey and how you got to where you are today. So I'd love to have you back onto the main show as well. But thank you so much. Thank you for joining us and taking the class today and giving us so much value.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really loved it. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Wonderful. Guys, thank you so much. I'll put the replay up for this class as well in the group, and I'll email you the links as well. But guys, stay awesome. You know, dream big, take massive action so I can bring you onto this class so you can give a class on something, or I can bring you onto the main show so you can actually share your journey with the world and inspire other people to dream big and live their dream too. So thank you very much, and I'll see you very, very soon. Thank you.
Hey, it's Princess Fizz again. I hope you found this show extremely, extremely valuable. Do like and comment and leave a review for this show, and don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends, whoever it will benefit. Go to ihaveadreamshow.com/shows if you want to watch the video recording of this show. And leave a comment, write to me. I'd love to hear from my listeners about any suggestions, any takeaways that you had, any suggestions for improvements, and make sure that you sign up to the newsletter as well so you don't miss another episode and you get notified by email. I love you loads. Dream big, chase those dreams, make them a reality so I can bring you onto the I Have a Dream show and share your unique journey with the world.